Welcome to Watch With Us. Watch With Us. An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, and I'm really excited about this week's guest. You may know her from her many TV and film appearances over the years, but now she is stepping into hosting duties, which of course she's also dabbled in. Jane Lynch will be taking over the new version of The Weakest Link, which debuts on NBC Wednesday, September 29th. Here is my interview with Jane. Jane, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
I want to, obviously, we're going to start out talking about The Weakest Link because congratulations. How exciting is that bringing this show back?
It's the absolute best. I was a huge fan when it was on with Anne Robinson, when it was on here in the early aughts. And I loved it because, well, first of all, I love trivia. And secondly, the reference level of the trivia is pretty up there.
How did the opportunity come along for you?
Well, there's this great guy named Stuart Krasnow, and he worked on the original one. And I've met him. We've been trying to work together on a game show for like the last probably 15 years. So I've known him on and off. We've been trying to get something together. And then they wanted to redo this. And he said, Jane, we might have the thing. So I went to lunch with Stuart and Ryan, who's from the BBC. And we kind of nailed it down, you know, and said, let's do this.
I love that. I assume things will be a little bit different this time around since you guys have been filming during a little different time in the world.
Yeah, the game, of course, is exactly the same because why mess with the BBC quiz show format?
Yeah.
But indeed, in honor of COVID, we have these, you know, NBC and most production companies hired a COVID company, if you will. So we have these really strict rules about masking and about, what area you are allowed in. And we have this guy, like basically in a hazmat suit going around the whole, the frequently touched areas like railings and doorknobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's got his little spray thing going all the time. And we're spraying down the contestants' podiums during the show and my podium and, when the contestants and I take our masks off, you know, nobody is allowed within at least 6 feet of us. And of course, we've made the set so that everybody's at least 6 feet from each other. And it worked out perfectly.
It must be so strange. I mean, as someone who's been doing this for a long time, it must be so strange for you not to go up and shake someone's hand or hug someone and just the things that you would usually do in your day-to-day life.
You know what? It's a damn relief. To have to hug people I just met. And I'm the one that initiates the hugs too. I'm a crazy person. So I don't necessarily like hugging and shaking hands and, you know, like kissing right after you met somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't like kissing people that I've known for decades. I am a bit relieved. I enjoyed it. I didn't have to touch anybody and I kind of want to continue with this.
Yeah. You're like 20 years later, you're like, sorry, I can't shake your hand.
No touch policy.
I love it. You obviously have done hosting before too. Is this more challenging or less challenging than your past hosting? Less.
When I hosted the Emmys, I was stressed the entire time until it was over. And Hollywood Game Night is, you know, in each episode, I do 10 different games, 10 different rules, and I'm in charge of those games. And I'm with a bunch of celebrities, you know, and I'm socially anxious. So although I enjoyed the hell out of it, especially once I was in it. Oh my God, The Weakest Link is so great. I just love it. It's one game and it's a game I adore. And I get to stand at my podium and have, you know, back and forth, a little back and forth with the contestants, but mainly it's about the questions. And we have this great music and we play the dramatic music while we're shooting. That's not put in at post. So you get the whole feel of it, you know, the dun, dun, dun. And when someone gets eliminated, all the lights go red and this freaky, like, kind of Flight of the Valkyries music comes on. It's awful, and wonderful all at the same time.
I love that you guys have it while you're filming and it's not put in after. Because yeah. I feel like a lot of the time it is, but it's cool because then you get to be part of that fun too.
Exactly. And you know, there's no studio audience. And if you look back on the episodes that we did here in the US and when they did the show in England, there was a studio audience, but they were in black. You barely saw them. You barely heard them. You know, every once in a while, they maybe laugh at something Anne Robinson said that was particularly cheeky. For the most part, you barely knew they were there. So it was no big deal to give them the old 86.
I love that you're also an executive producer on this. When you take on things now, is that part of what you bring into it? As you say, like, do you say like, I want executive producer roles and as well now? Because I feel like if you've been doing this for so long, is that like a must have?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it's a must have, but I definitely ask for it and have gotten it in the show and some other things that deals that I've made. And we'll see if any of those in light of COVID actually happen. But I love it. I love being I don't want to be the person making the decisions because I don't have expertise in a lot of areas, but I do have some expertise. I have an aesthetic and I have a way that I like the day to run. I have a level of politeness and quiet that I like. And, you know, it's really nice to be able to say, hey, you know, we're going to keep it quiet. And usually, you know, crews are very quiet, but there's just kind of a nice zen feeling on the set now. And so I really like that. I get to be one of the voices in how it looks aesthetically and how the voiceover that comes in. I had a chance to actually put my paw prints on that direction. And so, yeah, I like that. But I don't know everything for sure.
Right. It's just nice to have your hands in more of it. I mean, it must be, I would assume as someone who's, like you said, been part of the industry for so long, you've learned so much through the years as well, that's obviously helped too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Since you obviously balance multiple different things in your career, do you feel like at one point you'd want to just do hosting or just acting or just comedy? Like, is there something you would want to do or do you like kind of being able to juggle everything?
I have I'm doing a lot of different things now. Actually, it's stuff that's, you know, metaphorically speaking, in the runway ready to take off once we get the okay from, you know, the powers that be that we can, operate safely within a COVID environment. So I have a couple of acting things that I'm going to be doing. One of them, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and another, a Netflix show that I'm doing with Cyndi Lauper, hopefully in January. So if those take off, that's great. And yeah, I think less is more, definitely. I would love to do more Weakest Links. And in fact, I was saying to my partner last night, to Jennifer, I said, you know, if this were it, if just Weakest Link for like until I, you know, ride off into the sunset, I would be so happy. I just love doing it. You know, we do three a day. It's exhausting, but in a delightful way. I said I haven't worked this hard or been on my feet this long since I waited tables many decades ago.
How much, I guess, when you're looking at roles now, whether it's hosting, whether it's starring in something, how much is it? Is it like I need to really love it at this point to take it on?
Yeah, I do really need to love it. And that was not the case. I mean, this is recent as, you know, 2-3 years ago, I was not so much in, you know, like, oh, I want quantity, but it, you know, it was quality, but I don't say no to much. That's why I got to do a turn on, you know, The Good Fight. And that's how Marvelous Mrs. Maisel started out. It was just one episode. And I took that because, oh my God, working with Dan and Amy and this period and this character and, you know, I'd still say yes to doing that today, but definitely, I'm less inclined to like do something that I'm kind of meh about where I used to jump on the meh.
Yeah, absolutely. What about comedy when it comes? I mean, you got your start at Second City, yes?
Well, you know, I was a theater actor before that, and Second City was almost an accident. But yes, I don't mean to be cheeky. I definitely sketch, not improv so much. I was in the touring company, so we did mostly sketches and a little little bit of improv, and I didn't actually feel I was very good at that kind of improv. But yes, I started, that's where my comedy started for sure.
Because I was going to ask you, because I was curious if you were interested, if you like doing serious roles as much as you like doing comedy roles.
I was talking to somebody last night. I did a thing for USC where I spoke to the film and theater students, and I got that question, and I'll answer it the exact same way. To me, they're really the same thing. In terms of like process and where I start in, you know, kind of figuring out where this character lives emotionally. And then from that, all good things flow. And it's the same thing. It's the same process, and I enjoy them all. If it's good writing and it's a well-conceived character, well enough conceived that I have something to bite into. It's the same thing.
What was it about the original Weakest Link that you liked so much that you were kind of drawn to recreate?
The no frills, Anne was just, you know, she had a character for sure. She was the stern schoolmarm, but it was basically about it. We didn't care about who these people were in their lives. We just watched them, you know, perform in a quiz show with a pretty bare bones set, although beautiful lighting and great music. And it was about the trivia. And that was what sold the show. And of course they added the drama and the exit. We still do that too. The exit interviews, that, you know, this was in the beginning of reality television around the time that Survivor started, where people you kind of encourage people to create a drama and conflict and everything. We do a little of that, but for the most part, it's pretty clean and it's pretty organic. And but it's all about the question. So each show is an education, and then the competition between them is it's not primary. It's in between primary and secondary.
Are you playing a character as well? Do you have that as coming through the new show?
I have a little bit of a persona. it's of course not far from who I am. It's just kind of it's definitely, you know, I'm not waka waka. It's pretty serious. It's pretty straightforward, and always looking for the opportunity to kind of not necessarily rip someone a new one or make them feel stupid, but to, you know, be a bit critical and kind of high status with them for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before I let you go, we've been asking everybody kind of about, obviously this is a tough time with COVID. It's a difficult time for a lot of people, but, you know, we try to find something we can do every day to make ourselves smile. What's something you've been doing to kind of try to boost your happiness every day?
Well, up until about, maybe 2 months ago, I started working again about 2 months ago. So for like the first 4 months, I got up every morning and took a walk. I went to my favorite coffee shop, which was open through the whole thing, you know, to go, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'd get my favorite coffee and I'd walk in the neighborhood and I would dress. I wouldn't put on sweats. I would like put on jeans and, you know, a cute shirt. And I would get my coffee and I'd walk, and I'd usually do about 5,000 steps. And then every once in a while I would have a friend join me. But I did that every morning for probably 4 months. Wow. And it really did help. That makes me happy to, you know, I've done it about like 10 a.m. and then I'm like, now what are we going to do? But I made my bed every morning, you know, the esteemable things, the Jordan Peterson stuff, you know, get up, make your bed, stand up straight, and you know, you'll all good things will flow from there.
Absolutely. Jane, thank you so much for chatting. I cannot wait. I'm so excited to see The Weakest Link because I loved the original. So I can't wait.
Thank you so much, Emily. I appreciate that.
As always, guys, we want to wrap up this week's podcast with some shout outs, starting with the woman of the week. I have to pick Tyra Banks for this because she stepped into the hosting duties on Dancing with the Stars. Season 29 premiered this week. While not everybody loved the way that Tyra hosted, she stepped into some pretty big shoes. Of course, Tom Bergeron and Aaron Andrews had been hosting the show for quite some time. Tom actually from the show's debut, and Aaron joined in 2014. Regardless, people really, really loved them. So anyone who stepped into that role was going to be watched very closely. Tyra absolutely did her best in a live show amid everything going on in the world. Would not be easy for anyone. So I just wanted to give her kudos on that. Next up, we have our woman to watch this week. It has to go to Sarah Paulson because Ratched drops on Friday on Netflix.
she takes over the role of Nurse Ratched, which you may know from the famous movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. This is kind of the prequel to that. The series, which is a Ryan Murphy project, follows the life of Nurse Ratched and kind of explains how she became the way she is. It is quite daunting. So I'm going to give a shout out to her because her performance is just flawless. I would definitely recommend watching that. And then for what to watch, in addition to Ratched, because the rest of the cast is also awesome, I need to shout out Pen 15 because season 2 premieres on Hulu this week. And of course, just like season 1, this show is an impressive one. I don't want to give anything away. I just want everybody to watch. As always, guys, you can follow me on social media at Emily Longaretta and let me know what you're watching, loving, hating. I want to hear it all. If you love the podcast, you can also subscribe on iTunes. We would really appreciate it. Leave us a comment, leave us a 5-star review. We read everything that you send in, so make sure to share the love. As always, guys, stay safe and until next week.